is December 3rd, 2016. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the Kohl's Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today on RBN. Their website is, of course, republicbroadcasting.org. You may view the guest lineup for our program at spingola.com. Just click on the radio schedule button on the left and select the year, month, and day. Please also visit screeningsandyhook.net for my articles regarding Sandy Hook, psych drugs, and related topics. I've not published much lately about Sandy Hook because I am writing another book. I hope that you will consider subscribing to spingolaspeaks.net, where one may listen to the audio files of our programs. And of course, you may also listen at the RBN archives. And another option is Wooly's blog, and that's wooliesblog.blogspot.com. If you appreciate the RBN programming, and I hope that you do, I hope that you will consider donating to the network. You may do that by calling 800-724-2719 or simply visit republicbroadcasting.org and click donate, or send donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by visiting spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls later in the program at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Dennis Wise. He is also known as Truth Well Out. He is the producer of the very popular Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, and Communism by the Back Door. Dennis, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. Always a pleasure.
Oh, it's always wonderful to have you on the program, and I love your work. It's just amazing how you put it all together in such a comprehensive way so that people will understand. I mean, your productions are lengthy, but you get so very, very much information in the video. I mean,
yeah.
It is amazing how much information that you can put in each segment, and
doing 15-minute segments, which is probably the best thing for me, because obviously it gives me a time scale for the information to fit in, and so it keeps me under control, if you like.
Sure. Well, that is good, because a lot of people really do not like to watch a video that's longer, and if you can do it in segments, it seems like that it doesn't take as long, or you can go back and look at something. And I have noted in my own life that I can look at something like Communism by the Back Door, look at all of the segments that you have, and get something that I didn't get out of it before, because of things that have occurred in my life or in somebody else's life, and I think, oh, why didn't I get that before?
Yeah, well, it is one of, I mean, it's slightly different to the first documentary where, again, that was in 15 parts, but with Communism by the Back Door, I kind of treated it as different sections. Like, one might be about the United Nations, one might be about Freemasonry, and so they're in the sections, but they all intertwine as the story goes along, if you'd like.
Sure. And you can watch each one independently without being out of sync. And so it's delightful.
It works. You know, well, it's, I suppose that's a style that I managed to create.
Sure. Now, what kind of response have you had to Communism by the Back Door? Is it the same receptiveness that people gave with The Greatest Story Never Told?
Well, funnily enough, when I first started it, the reaction from some people was quite indifferent. You know, in fact, one or two went as far as saying that I was being detrimental to the first documentary. But as the documentary developed and people started to understand that I had to explain certain elements of what we could call the enemy, if you like, that eventually, as it unraveled, people began to fully understand Fall in Line, and for a long time before the end, people were well behind it.
Right, and of course, it does relate. Both of the productions relate to each other, and it fills in, not that there were any gaps, but your first production, Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, was just sort of focused more on the person, the man, what he did, how it came to be, how he came to be, and the adoration that the Germans had for him. And I think a lot of people didn't understand that. And as people watch that video, they just totally do flop on what they had originally thought of Adolf Hitler. And so it is amazing.
Well, that was the intention. Whether or not I could have pulled it off or not, I had to wait to see that. You know, I mean, I gave it the best effort. I knew I'd only get one chance. The amazing thing, what I found is some of the interviewers who've interviewed me in the past few months have watched it and have also flip-flopped. I had one just the other week, a totally different interview to the first one that we had, where he'd watched the documentary again and must have obviously now connected to what I was doing and what was going on in Germany. And it's just wonderful to hear. You know, these are people who were staunchly of a certain view and have now, as you say, seen the light.
Yes. And it is amazing. I mean, we've all been brought up in government schools, and we've all been, we have the media and all the mm-hmm. movies and whatnot, all the propaganda, and it's still going on. You would think that after this long that Hollywood would discontinue the making of Let's Hate Hitler programs and movies, but it continues. And so your production is very timely.
Well, what's amazing to me about it is that you know, all these millions and millions of pounds spent on Hollywood movies, and then you had all the Allied documentaries, which hardly ever give sources, really. They're only sources from their own sources, and you know, it's just been a complete whitewash of history for the last 70 years, which has been thrown into Europe and thrown at schools into the US. And so for one little documentary, albeit 6.5 hours long, to come along and completely destroy what they're trying to do. And this is not me that's talking. This is people what sent me emails, many, many emails, to say that, you know, they can't even be bothered to watch a Hollywood movie now because since watching the documentary, it just destroys any credibility. So that in itself is amazing to me.
Yes, and yet we all believed it. We
did.
Really believed it. Which goes to prove just how successful and pervasive the propaganda has been. Because I know that a lot of people, no matter what you would tell them, they're never going to accept the idea that Adolf Hitler was not an evil person.
No, there's some people have been, I suppose it's so entrenched in their in the whole life, the way they've been brought up. I mean, I know from being a young kid, like I was taught at school about the Holocaust, and then when I left school, you had all the media, obviously, which would always anti-Hitler. Then you had the movies, everything all the way through your life. And for some people to even consider that, you know, they've been told a lie would turn the whole world upside down. They would look at, for instance, their own family who fought in that war, who would have now fought on the wrong side, and people just can't accept it and won't accept it, and that's their decision. But you know, the truth is the truth, and what must be said must be said.
And the other thing too is that it has been institutionalized, as we mentioned, but it's been the whole idea that, there was a Holocaust, that has certainly been institutionalized in the school, and certainly institutionalized by the U.S. government with their establishment of the Holocaust Museum and the teaching, the indoctrination of the teachers throughout the country who are taught what to teach in schools about the Holocaust, which is really kind of a religious dogma.
Yeah, no, it's true, yeah. I mean, it's the same in Europe, of course, possibly a bit worse in Europe, but I do think there's a lot of trying to change the laws in a lot of countries, especially the US as well, you know, with the Holocaust denial thing. Fortunately, there's still that element of free speech in America, but most of the countries, you know, they are being pressured, I think, into accepting this anything other than admitting to the Holocaust is hate speech. That little line which gets them out of, you know, gets them to whitewash again a lot of people and change people's thoughts. I mean, how powerful is it when a country can turn around and say that you're not allowed to say such a word or such a word, and the whole nation then has to fall into line? Really, really powerful. So, yeah, but, you know, we're battling away, and hopefully the documentary continues to do as it does.
Indeed. How many viewings do you... I guess it's really kind of hard to say.
It's interesting. I mean, it's just been banned again, by the way, on YouTube. Well, our particular version, there's still versions up there on YouTube. This is an interesting point, because we were talking to the people at the website only last week, because we were asked a similar question in a previous interview, and they reckon it's around 20 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
And people leave responses, and the responses, I would think, are probably good. Usually when... Go ahead, us about...
Well, sometimes... Even to my knowledge, sometimes, like, you know, some comments aren't taken off by the website, but they just feel like that, you know, let everybody have a voice, and unless there's any profanity, then, you know, they'll stay, inverted commas, democratic. But sometimes I think that, you know, people can tend to use it as a platform as well. But that said, besides, most of the comments are far positive than any of the negative, which would be a surprise, I would suppose, to a lot of people, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that there are supporting views, so it's not like you're out there by yourself. I mean, you have the book Hellstorm by Thomas Goodrich, mm-hmm. and so other people are also beginning to talk about this and saying, hey, we have been taught inaccurate history, and not just about World War II, but going back, back to the so-called Civil War and before.
Well, that's interesting enough. On YouTube, I've noticed many, many channels have cropped up since the documentary with some great work as well, you know, and so that was pleasing to see as well, the influence that particular documentary had on other people. So again, it's a little bit of a snowball, and hopefully the more of these channels will open up, the more the world will be able to see the truth.
Sure, sure. Now, have you had people... well, ostracize you, family members and whatnot?
Well, no, because, I mean, I don't give away, you know, my true identity, which is really,
yes.
This was a point that I knew about before I endeavoured on the documentaries, because I knew of the situation of other people and how they are attacked and how we're even worse, imprisoned, you know, so...
yes.
No, you know, as far as that goes, the only hassle I do get, really, is on YouTube, when some people, one particular person, for instance, just started off this week in quite a reasonable manner, but he quickly turned into, you know, I could see where he was coming from, and, you know, we had to block him eventually, and which probably led to the documentary being knocked off YouTube, because it was kind of we believe it's a false copyright claim. But now if you want to challenge that claim, you've got to produce all your information, all your personal information, which kind of puts a block on that for us now. So, but, you know, we carry on. I mean, the documentary, I think I said this many times on your show before, that once the documentary was out there, the first documentary for sure, that was my job done.
Did I lose you?
You did for a second, I think. But.
Yes, okay. Yes, when it first came out, and then you redid some things, and it was available, is available, as a set that people can purchase. And when it first came out, you also encouraged people to go ahead and you know, disseminate it, make copies and disseminate it, correct?
Well, that's right. And the thing is that every time, I mean, people can go on the IMDb site, which is the movie site with the reviews, and there's about 144 reviews on there, and you either get a 10 or a 1, from depending who gives a review. But the only reviews that the enemy can give is proclaim it as Nazi propaganda and don't even go there, because they know if people do go there, then their story has a problem.
Yes.
And the positive comments are... echo just what I say, especially those people who were unaware and watched the documentary and were absolutely astounded.
Yes. I can imagine people's astonishment if they've just never opened their mind to any other version of history, and then to sit down and watch that. And I've known people who have watched it completely. I mean, stayed up overnight to watch it. The owner of the network did that. And he was amazed. And I think that a lot of people are amazed when they watch it. And, you know, the thing that always, is telling is how the people responded to him, how the Germans responded to him. And then when you think about what he did for Germany, that he put people back to work, he kicked out the bankers, he didn't use credit to do anything. He relied on the people, and they were the real resources. Their work, their production, those were the resources of Germany. Mm-hmm. And he got the business owners and the employees to work together, not as opposition, but as people who were trying to do something, manufacture something, so that they could both benefit. And that is something that he did. And when you look at, well, for instance, the division in the United States, which was particularly evident here in this recent election, you see so much division, so much hatred, and it's never about the real issues. It's always about character. It's character assassination, and but in Germany, through the visuals, you can see that the people adored him, and it's been said, you know, probably thousands of times, oh, he just had everybody brainwashed.
Hypnotized,
yes. He just magically hypnotized everybody.
Well, what's strange is that this was a point made by Christopher Everard, who interviewed me last week, and he was amazed how much love that was shown to him. He was one of these who was sceptical and kind of a whole different change in attitude. But what I did find interesting in the second documentary is kind of struck a chord with what was going on today, with all the influx into Europe of the Africans and all the people influxed into the United States as well, which is probably not as noticeable because it's obviously a bigger continent. Was the fact that I found bits of details of Germany, especially Hitler and Goebbels, knowing about this demise of the white race even before World War II. Then I came across I looked at the Rhineland and the influx of the colonial black soldiers that the French sent down there, about 40,000, to mix with the white women. Aha, music.
Yes. All righty. We're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away, and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
And our guest today is Dennis Wise. He is the producer of the very popular Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, with 20 million views, which is just absolutely fabulous. He also produced Communism by the Back Door. The websites are thegreateststorynevertold.tv and communismbythebackdoor.tv. And you were talking about the bastardization of the white, of the Germans, by these people that the French sent in.
Yeah, well, the thing was that, I mean, obviously, I've said it before, that Hitler's priority, his one great dream in life was to break the Versailles Treaty, which was, I now understand, to be the detriment of Germany, in fact, the death of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And this, when I connected the two with the race mixing of today, and then I saw the race mixing back then, and then I saw the case, because I didn't even know that, I mean, I heard of Richard Kudinov-Kalergi maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I didn't even know that Hitler even knew Kalergi, or that Kalergi had escaped three times. From Austria, then from Czechoslovakia, then from France, and then he escaped lastly from France to the US. And this was a guy who wrote a book in 1920, which was Practical Idealism, which has never been translated. Was written. He was Austrian. It was written in German, and bits have been translated, where he professes that Europe should be a mixed mongrel race with a low education, just fit enough to work, but not enough to work things out. And so with with what was going on today, and I saw this connection with the, I thought, why on earth would France put 40,000 colonial soldiers into Germany when France is just next door to Germany anyway with their own soldiers? And consequently, I came to the conclusion that Hitler had already understood that the birth rate was low when he came into power. For instance, he gave money to families to have more children, and also, you know, various other means of increasing the birth rate. So he was well aware that the white birth rate was well down. And since World War II's ended, nothing has really changed, only the fact that it's got even worse. And not only over here, this was in America as well. I mean, when Krzysztof Kalergi escaped to America, Truman heard him, actually read one of his write-ups in a magazine, and liked what he heard, because Kalergi was a high-ranked Freemason as well, as was Truman, and as was... Well, France is a Masonic country, so most of their leadership, if not all, would have been high-ranking Freemasons. And so this genocide, if you like, was even prior to World War II. And the fact that the Germans lost made it even worse when immediately after the war there was influx of more and more immigrants into Germany. And Germany is the one country who has been really, hammered to the floor, really, after two world wars of fighting these people. They've suffered more than anybody.
Indeed. And you talk about Freemasonry and and your communism by the back door. And Freemasonry is globalist in nature, of course. And, you know, it is just amazing to me that people don't see this. And, in fact, I was reading a document this week about, and it was funded by the Carnegie Foundation, and it was produced in September of 2016. And the essence of this document is that it was like 43 pages long, and it was devised to figure out a way of providing jobs for the immigrants coming into, well, specifically America, and saying, you know, these people can work in these particular occupations, but these are not permanent, not as permanent as they would like. But here they were devising occupations and an opportunity, a way of providing jobs for people who are coming into the country, when in fact, I mean, what about the people who live here? Why? No. Go ahead. I get angry at this.
Listen, it's amazing. Tonight, I heard, I mean, I couldn't really tell you an accurate figure of how many immigrants have come in to into Britain. I don't believe any of the government figures anyway. But what I can tell you is that, you know, there's many, many foreign and Muslim people in Britain. And have come in over the years. And just tonight on the news, they just said that 250,000 of English people are homeless. And yet they're still bringing in these immigrants, which is, if anything, it's crazy. But if anything, it does show that there is an agenda, because there's no other reason. Why would you bring in people to a country where 250,000 are homeless?
Right. And of course, there's so many reasons for immigration. I mean, and I think all of these reasons, all of these justifications, rationalizations, are prepared. I think that when you look at any immigration, any large group of people emigrating from a country and immigrating into a country, I think that you can say, okay, they're doing it because of warfare, they're doing it because of famine, they're doing it because of persecution, they're doing it because, did I say warfare? I think warfare is probably a big one. And I mean, I have had guests on the program who have had to leave Iraq. And I mean, when you destroy a country and you destroy all the infrastructure and everything else, people are going to leave because they're desperate to take care of their family. Oh, the other thing is another rationalization or justification for leaving a country is that they have totally imploded the economic structure, such as they did in Mexico in 1996, where people were starving. So what people are desperate. You need to have food. You need to have shelter. You need to have clothing. Take care of your family.
Exactly. And, yeah. I absolutely agree.
And the people who can orchestrate these things, those are the people that you have to look at. I mean, it's not the U.S. soldier that thinks he's being patriotic that goes and joins the military to go kill strangers. I mean, it's the people who arrange this mm-hmm. this patriotism and these, you know, support the military nonsense that you really have to say, well, you know, who are you serving? What That's God right. are you serving? What devil are you serving?
Well, I think there was a bit of a backlash when America tried to go to war in Syria, for instance. Some of the American soldiers had realized that the same people they were going to help were the same people they were fighting in places like Afghanistan. You know, a couple of soldiers that I know of, I can remember being on the internet saying that we don't go to fight to help Al-Qaeda. So because of the internet, you know, people could see this actually happening. But the problem in Africa was, I was listening to Julian Assange last night, and he was talking about how Hillary Clinton had been central to the destruction of Libya, and the fact that Libya was always there to keep a cork on Africa. You know, if ever anything happened in Africa, you know, Libya was there to stop any influx into Europe. And Gaddafi actually said this, that, you know, what are you trying to do? What was these Western governments trying to do? Because if Libya falls, then, you know, there will be no cork in the bottle. And this is exactly what happened. And it makes you wonder exactly, you know, if the European governments knew what they were doing anyway, because of this plan of Kudinov-Kalergi to actually dumb down the European white race and mix it, as he, in his own words, said, as the old Egyptians used to be, as of a mixed race, which, you know, once was white down there as well. So consequently, like, you know, I looked at the whole thing, at this race mixing of the French colonial soldiers, and put two and two together, came up with four, found out about Kalergi had been chased out to these countries where Hitler's armies had arrived. He just about got out in time. But soon as the World War finished in 1946, Winston Churchill then went to Switzerland and gave a speech praising Kalergi and his thoughts on this new European Union, which means I suppose that if I'm saying that this was happening after World War One, it means that most prime ministers, if not all prime ministers, certainly before, but certainly after World War II, are all compliance to this, because the Rothschilds put Europe down in lockdown removed all the National Socialist friendly people and put their own people in. And consequently,
we do have a break. I think we're running late, but anyway, we have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site, and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to aptapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
This is Deanna, and our guest today is Dennis Wise, also known as Truth Will Out. I love that term, Truth Will Out. And I'm sure that you chose it for the reason that...
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Go ahead.
The truth never ending is trying to surface if ever it's buried. This is a known fact. And so that is why so many laws have to be put into place to try and stop it from leaking out. But eventually, you know, it's an impossible task. Eventually, the truth does leak out. And Adolf Hitler said, you know, one day the truth will be known that what they were doing was right. I mean, it's an apt, I think it's an apt name.
Yes, absolutely. And when you see the difference between what Hitler did in Germany and what FDR was doing here, I mean, it's totally different, night and day kind of a situation. It was during the Depression. I mean, millions of people disappeared in this country during the Depression. People were standing in soup kitchen lines. Yeah. I mean, it was terrible. There were still... Even in the urban areas, there were still outhouses. He was building things. Well, Hitler was building things.
That's right. Well, the thing was, I found out again that around about 1930, the bankers had decided for all countries to go bankrupt.
Yes.
Which Roosevelt eventually did with America. So that was planned. And they wanted all European countries as well to follow suit. And there's only one country what said no, and that was obviously Germany. And when they had the meeting in Switzerland, the international jury, they came to a conclusion where they would give Germany an ultimatum to get rid of Hitler and reinstate all the communists, who were all Jews, of course, back into positions of power. Germany said no. So Samuel Untermeyer was the leader of that delegation, and the American leader came back to America and gave a speech declaring holy war on Germany. And so the blockade, and everyone will tell you that any sanctions on any country is an act of war. And so yes. The war really started in 1933, and this is all available on Google, the whole speech, in fact. And so consequently, from 1933 to 1939, there were outside sources outside of Germany trying to look for a war. And of course, as many, you can find them again on Google, many statements of, for instance, one would say, a Jewish person would say, Hitler doesn't want war, but Hitler is going to get a war. And yes. Lines like that. There was pushing for this war. And eventually, I suppose, Poland was the chance for international Jewry to come together and say, now's the time. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history.
Sure. And of course, there were sanctions. You mentioned the Versailles Treaty early on. There were sanctions and this blockade for 9 months until they signed the Versailles Treaty. And this was right after this horrific so-called World War I. And they were starving the Germans. And so, yes, that was an act of war after the war was stopped, after the armistice.
That's a good point, because when them soldiers, these black colonial soldiers, went into the Rhine Valley and doing what they did, I mean, I found a document stipulating just exactly what went on there, which was a lot of rapes, you know, a lot of people suffered down there. And this was at a time when Germany was at peace.
Yes.
You know, so people got to bear that in mind as well, just as you mentioned about the Versailles Treaty. But the point was, I found that the bottom of the rabbit hole was this Richard Kudinov Kalergi, because he is absolutely adored by the people of the EU today. I mean, he has an award which started off, I think it was every 2 years, but now it's gone to every 1 year. And the winners of it are just the people you'd expect to be. I mean, like I said, in 19... I'll just run through a couple for you. 1956, Winston Churchill. A little bit later on, we have Roy Jenkins, who is a Labour MP from 1972. You probably may not have heard of him, but Edward Heath took Britain into the EU. He's on it. But towards the end of it, you've got Pope Francis this year, 2016, who was always pushed for multiculturalism, which goes against the Catholic faith. 2015, Martin Schulz. Now, Martin Schulz is the guy, head of the EU, who turned around and said, Germany only exists to serve Israel. And then we can go a little bit further back, and you've got people like Tony Blair, you've got people like Bill Clinton, even Pope John Paul II in 2004 won this award. And this award is the Kalergi Award, otherwise known as the Charmaine Award, which... It is given to people who've gone out of the way and worked the most for his agenda to be inserted. And it's plain as daylight that these are all traitors. And at the end of the last episode of Communism by the Back Door, I pointed this out, that the people of London who turned out for Churchill's funeral was actually the people that he wanted to wipe out. And the proof in that statement is, you look at London today and it's no longer an English city. They're in a minority.
Yes. As they are in every other city.
Exactly.
Paris, I mean, Paris looks nothing like it did. I was in Paris in 89, and gosh, it was a beautiful city. It was wonderful.
Let's tired about Paris was a lot of the people who were camped out trying to get across into England in Calais had been moved out of there now, and a lot of Somalians have been given tents to sleep outside in Paris itself. And this glorious city of what Paris has always been esteemed as is suddenly now flooded with all these immigrants who are sleeping in tents. And to say it's not safe to walk the streets is an understatement.
Yes. Well, I went with a friend, and a friend of mine, and was a customer of mine, and she owned a fabric shop, and we met up with some fabric reps in Spain, and then we went on to Paris, and just the two women. I mean, we would get on the train, we'd go all over the country, we went everywhere, we weren't afraid. There wasn't any threats, even in the subway. They don't call it subway, I mean, it was, you felt totally safe at night, any time of the day.
Well, now it's a total different ballgame, not just in France, obviously, but in Germany as well. And the amazing thing is, people who are still in denial of this agenda, when, I say that there's no longer Christmas lights now going up in Sweden. You know, I mean, they've been trying to end Christmas for quite some time, and I do believe they are now going to succeed, especially if they manage to get enough Muslims into these European countries, and then they'll just turn around and say it's offensive, just as they've done in Sweden, for these Christmas lights to go up, and once you give way on one thing, then you're going to give way on another thing. We know carols, and certainly. In this country, in the UK, there's hardly any mention of any religious festivity at Christmas for the past few years. whether it be on television or in supermarkets. So, you know, there is an agenda, and I'm convinced that the EU is communist, and Obama was trying to do the same, Clinton was trying to do the same with America. And, you know, it's just, it's there before everybody's eyes, but it happens so slowly that it's hardly noticeable. But when it comes too late.
Exactly. I just received an email from a really good friend who's just mm-hmm. a delightful person. And she said, wouldn't it be great if the History Channel took off the Hunting Hitler programs and put on your work instead? Do you anticipate that that's ever going to happen?
That would only ever happen if there was a regime change.
Right.
And the only time we get a regime change, unfortunately, is, I mean, they won two world wars, so I think there's only going to be another world war what would remove them. Unfortunately, I don't think voting is ever going to do it.
Exactly. Now, do you have people, or are you aware of anybody in Israel who have viewed your work, or is it banned there? Have you had somebody respond from Israel?
I can't think of anybody. No, I may be wrong, but it doesn't jump to. I have had certain Jews who have watched it, although not from Israel, who been quite positive about it as well. So that's another, you know, another feather in the cap, I suppose.
Yes. Well, I was listening to, when I drive around in my car, I have the radio on. I was listening to Dennis Prager, and he said, isn't it amazing? And he was talking about how they were trying to do away with Christmas. And he says, you know, Christmas is a national holiday. It is not specific to any particular religion, but it is a national holiday. And he said, isn't it amazing that most of the Christmas songs that we ordinarily accept and sing and hear were all written by Jewish people?
Well, that's quite true. I mean, White Christmas was one of them as well. For sure. I mean, just the fact that I have this, I never sign a Christmas card Xmas because I know the reason.
I would never do that. I would never do that.
Well, I know the reason behind that. You know, I'll yes. always write the full word. And this goes back quite some time. So it's been quite a while that they've been trying to water down Christmas. It's not so much they're going to finish Christmas off as a celebration, but they're going to finish it off. I think they're going to try and finish it off as a Christian celebration.
Yes, and yes, and people that sign it with Xmas, it just, yeah, they don't know what they're doing. I know that they're trying to shorten it, but they just don't understand the implication behind.
No, exactly.
It's amazing. Amazing. Anyway, okay. Back to the chat room here. You have had people, Jewish people, who have appreciated your work. And, you know, I'm having trouble with my Skype. Ever since we came on, my Skype says up at the top, not responding. So,
that's so unusual, is it? whenever Dennis Wise is around.
Oh, it sounds great, but I can't click on anything. It just gives me the rotating circle. So I know that it's being recorded, but anyway, I hope that it
sounds,
you know,
fine.
Quickly it's wonderful. The sound is wonderful. I can hear everybody, but when it comes time to take callers, I'm not going to be able to see anybody's name because my Skype is just it's just not cooperating here at all. So uh-huh. So we'll figure that out when we get to it, or maybe okay. I'll you know, terminate my Skype and then restart it, reboot it during the break or something. But anyway, that's interesting. I think, you know, that doesn't happen. So I'm thinking, does somebody know that you're on today and is trying to make, put a little, you know.
Yeah, well, that it won't be the first time, I don't think.
Amazing. So, getting back to, let's talk about communism by the back door, because that is your latest effort. Are you going to do anything? Are you going to continue?
Well, at this moment in time, I was hoping to do a bonus part, but the mistake I made, now I realize what I made, was I kind of stopped the train first. Maybe if I'd have gone straight into it, you know. But once that train stops, I then felt, up to that point, I hadn't really felt anything. But up to that point, then I felt the 5 years. I've been on this full on for about 5 years now, with two documentaries, which was over six hours long, and
right.
I just couldn't get the train going again. And so rather than put an episode in which wasn't up to standard or just rushed, I refused to do that and said, no, that's fair enough, then we'll call it. This is the end of this particular documentary. So I'm hoping maybe in the new year the batteries will be recharged and I can look at other things as well. But this moment in time, apart from this talk about... Okay, we've got a break.
Yes, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. We'll be right back 3 minutes.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
All righty, we are back, and my Skype is up and running and behaving. Our guest is Dennis Wise, also known as Truth Will Out. He is the producer of the very popular Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. That may be seen at thegreateststorynevertold.tv. And he also produced Communism by the Back Door. And that may be seen at communismbythebackdoor.tv. Now, you were saying that your batteries had just kind of run low.
Well, I mean, I hadn't realised just, you know, the people I've neglected in the 5 years of doing it, because I really did have it full on pedal down for 5 years straight off. Adolf Hitler, the greatest story ever told, straight into communism by the back door. And there's a lot of sacrifice there, and I didn't really realise until I actually ended or kind of finished on part 21, ready to do a bonus in, say, a couple of weeks' time. And the train just stopped, and everybody knows once the train stops, it's difficult to get that train going again. And so I just felt that something, either physically or mentally, was telling me to at least take a break, and which is what I decided to do. I've still kept active doing radio interviews, of course, and I've got a Facebook page, which is quite active. But as far as documentaries, I haven't really, apart from the, like I was about to say, about the influx of the colonial soldiers down in the Rhineland, connecting it to today's race mixing, what's going on, I believe, what Merkel is responsible for. Apart from that, there's nothing really what's really took a great hold of me. So maybe in the new year, maybe that's one thing I'll feature. But certainly, I mean, you mentioned communism by the back door, and that really, if I could just skip through a couple of parts for you, the first one was kind of an introduction to it all, and then the second one I went into the occult thing with I managed to get an interview with the Lucy Trust, who have offices in the United Nations, and so are we still okay?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I just got someone flashed through, and then so that I felt was important, but people just thought that the belief in Lucifer, etc., was a little bit over the top, and that's when I started to get a bit of criticism. But I battled on, because we're going to Freemasonry, and of course Freemasonry, that again has a tie with the Luciferian doctrine, which then after that we went into the music business. I showed how the music business was also tied up in it, because after World War II, any industry of power, of influence, was overtaken by the Freemasons and Jews. The second one I mentioned was the Roman Catholic Church, which I felt Hitler protected from communism during World War II. That fell, the Jews infiltrated, Freemasonry infiltrated the Roman Catholic Church, changing quite a lot in the 1962, 1963.
What do you feel changed? I'm not Catholic, but what do you feel changed in that period of time?
Once over, when you went to church as a Catholic, you put on your best clothes and your best suit, and but they just played all that down, and people started going in jeans and in trainers, and just to bring the whole thing down. But significant things were like usury, for instance. The Catholic Church had always been against usury, but they came out with like laws which were so grey. You know, they said like, well, a little bit of usury is not too bad.
Oh,
the door for everything.
Yeah, like a little bit of, like, that's like being a little bit pregnant. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes. We're at the top of the hour.
For you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.